Football debates, hot takes, and analysis our way. With compas and a carne asada, this is Football Asada. Welcome home.
What's up, boys? What's up, everyone? Welcome back. Another episode of Football Asada. We're in the middle of this Liguilla run, so we're going to, you know, keep going on it. But I want to introduce my guest first, Brian. Brian, clear this out for me. Is your last name actually Carnicero, or is that...
No, it's not. This is my second Twitter because I got decapitated for using a Syriac clip of Chucky.
Oh,
so, well, I can't, you know, got to go by nicknames now.
is that Paramount? Is that CBS that does that? Like, are they just,
I don't know. And it was weird because some stuff you're good to go. Some stuff just, you just get a strike and there ain't no coming back.
Also, Ryan, for those of you who don't know, we're huge fans of him on Twitter. He's hilarious. And he also owns, if you've seen around there, co-owner of Foot Cult, right? Is that how we pronounce it? If you guys like that Mexico drip and you guys like to see some cool-ass jerseys, yo, go check out Brian for sure. I think Brian was telling me off-screen that they got some stuff on sale right now.
Yeah, lots of stuff. So
talking about drip, this is customary. And Brian, this is my fault. I forgot to tell you okay. Our DMs, but... We usually wear jerseys.
Next time I will.
Yes, please. That was on me, but we do a drip check. So I'm going to start with Chris.
I have the rarest Mexico World Cup jersey of all time because they actually never wore it. So
in the World Cup.
Honestly, I don't know. This is like kind of off topic, but I don't know if we are going to ever wear it, bro. Like every single game since the World Cup, we haven't worn it. We always wear the green. Like no matter who we play, every friendly, we always wear the green, home or away. And I'm starting to think, like, maybe this was just, like, a World Cup, like, exclusive jersey. They were only supposed to use it for that. And they didn't even get to use it. So I wonder if it's just, like...
No, I think we've worn it twice, if I'm not wrong. You guys correct me?
Yeah, but I think it was only once, or maybe it could have been twice. But they were both in pre-World Cup friendlies. Like, since then, we have not used it at all. And I know the women's team has actually come out with another white jersey. That one's also nice as well. Like, also, that's, like, such a... Some like I think like Aztec traditions about it or something. It looks like tile in a way, with like green spots all over. I don't know if it's tile or like a leopard. I don't know what they were going for, but it looks nice.
Imagine if we only still had the old FMF logo.
And then I see you're wearing toilet
paper. I'm wearing a repechaje exit, but future CCL champions jersey. Let's hear me out.
We need you guys to win.
We are desperate, and I honestly, the pressure is all on Leon, and I feel it. I feel like I'm part of the team right now. I feel like I'm right next to man. I'm blanking on Nicolas Larcamón. I feel so pressured, but Birma, I'm glad we left Birma. These shirts are so tight, guys. Like I look like I'm like hitting the gym every day. If you guys see me picking out my jersey during the rest of the episode, it's because it's super tight. I don't know why Beanma does this all the time. But this is an old jersey. I only have 7 stars on this one, missing the 8th from 2020 when we beat Chivas in the semifinal. But yo, let's get into this, man. Let's start off because, you know, we're talking about Liga MX. We're in the middle, in the heat. Before we get into our semifinals, which honestly, I want to get into this, the juicy part. We got to talk about what just happened. It was a pretty good series of games. So let's talk about what happened at quarterfinals, boys. What do we start off with?
What was the let's start off with Monterrey then. So they were the number one seed. We'll start with them. Honestly, I kind of expected them not to win the first leg. To be honest, I feel like they were took a little bit of a break out because they got the bye, and then Santos were probably on a little bit of emotional high by beating Pachuca. So I expected a drop. Then they eventually took care of business. They showed why they're the number one seed and why Santos didn't even deserve to be there in the first place. So that I didn't really get any new info from Monterrey from that series. They just took care of business, bro. They showed why they're number one. Like they didn't like fucking win 8-0, but they just took care of business. You know?
Yeah, of course. And you know what? Like, poor Acevedo, now he tallies up to, I think, what, like 39 goals conceded in the whole season. He's lucky he was lahud in that 4-4 against Pachuca, right? So
yeah, that was a crazy game.
That was an insane game. Yeah. But so Acevedo now goes up to 39 goals scored against in one single season. Unlucky, but like you said, Monterrey is Monterrey. I mean, I didn't expect anything less. It was going to be the biggest upset in the world if for whatever reason Monterrey didn't get through, but they did it. And Mexico's star striker scored a goal.
Funes Mori.
Yeah, there's not really much to say about that. Brian, dude, like, what do you think about that game, man?
Yeah, I felt like they were going to win. I think they got a little favorable on the, a couple plays that Gallardo put where he didn't play the ball at all.
Yeah.
What's a penalty in this league?
You know what? I think it was you, Brian, who tweeted it. And I was thinking to myself, like, I was literally already having, like, how would you even call it? Premature nightmares of what he's going to do against the U.S. I think it was you who tweeted it, right? You tweeted a video of him, like, just shoulder checking someone in the box.
Just even go look, take a look at it. You know what I mean? But yeah, they were stronger. They were just going to get through. And yeah, I feel bad for Acevedo. I've been a big fan of his, and I'm getting a lot of heat, but you know, it is what it is.
I want him to succeed. I really, truly do. I love Acevedo, but Santos is just not helping that man's case. And then with Ochoa and Salernitana right now, literally saving them for relegation.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're both hands tied behind our back for Acevedo, but hopefully he comes through next season. Maybe, hey, that moves to Chivas. It's there. And the offer might be on the table. We might see Acevedo in the Rebaño Sagrado.
As a Chivas fan, I wouldn't mind. But whatever. Well, let's move to America now. America looked like America in the first leg. I'm not gonna lie, 3-1. They were looking good. But as a Chivas fan, I'm happy with what I saw in leg two. They were getting exposed, bro. I can't picture a scenario in which America is making a final with fucking like Miguel Layun and Luis Fuentes and Nestor Araujo like starting in your back line, bro. Like I can't. It just doesn't click for me. I don't see it happening. I mean, then again, Chivas, where we don't really have like a real striker right now, and we're playing Piojo Alvarado up there, which is basically playing with 10 players. But we'll get into that in a bit. But I don't know. I think America, there's some flaws there. There's some flaws. I can definitely see like them getting exploited. Like and they did it for me. I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but for me, they are the least for me likely out of the 4 teams that made the semis to win at all. Ooh. Just because I can't, like, their defense to me just has too many holes, bro. Like, too many holes. And yeah, like I said, I already named the three guys. Like, they're like dumb, dumb, and dumber, to be honest. That was my right man. They almost blew it, yeah, bro. They almost blew it. Was it 4-3 to San Luis?
And a goal that we didn't get to see because they were doing a live replay. And so I don't know, like, what happened?
Was that I think that was Perro narrating that game, and then like you seen the replay, and then you hear Perro in the back just goal, and I was like, what's going on? What the hell? And it's a surprise goal, surprise appearance, or cameo from Brian Rodriguez, who for whatever reason the whole season disappeared and then came back and is like falling out or scored a goal. But Brian, you're an America fan. Odiame Mas or whatever you guys say.
Oh, Brian's
yeah. Wow. So what do you talk about your team, man?
Like I've said, they're kind of hard. This is a very difficult team to love because I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know how we're going to score. I don't know if the defense is, like you were saying, are they going to hold up? One game barely can find any attacking threat, and then the next game, they're piling on goals. So this is going to be a very interesting matchup coming up because this is a rivalry game where if you're going to show up, this is the game you need to show up. So they're on and off, and like that previous game we just saw, like everyone's looking around like, you know, I was supposed to mark him or were you? And then it's like on the attacking
side. I actually have a question for you.
Yeah, go
ahead. I have a question for you, Brian, as an America fan, because I watch it from the outside. For me, this is like, again, kind of on topic of the defense. For me, last season, I thought Emilio Lara was probably America's best defender. Like he played as a center back, could play as a right back. It was his first season as a pro. I thought he was great. He had like 2 goals, a couple of assists, like, and he had like some attitude to him. Like he was sticking his tongue out, like always fighting, but which I think personally is a good thing. I'd rather see more players like that. But then, I don't know, there's like a few bad games and all of a sudden everyone acts like this guy's like the worst guy ever and now he can't get a game. And I think that's actually hurt them more than anything.
Right.
Like him not being there. I mean, I'm not saying he was amazing when he was playing, but...
Well, this is kind of like the issue I'm having with fellow America fans is I hate that we kill off a young Mexican player for a couple goofs when he has potential. So in the game against Chivas, he has, in my opinion, one of the best assists of the tournament. Then he has an own goal, and it's like, out. We're done with him. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, well, you got to let him breathe a little bit. And let's be honest, they won still comfortable, like as a comfortable win. And then you put in Lyon, and everyone's like, Lyon sucks. I'm like, well, you took the kid out. You got to let him play through some hiccups. You know what I mean? So, you know, fans are quick to, I mean, they're booing everybody in some of these games. But yeah, I do miss him, and I miss that attitude and that personality. So some fans are glad he got pulled, and then me, I'm like, well, it's not only sort of America, it's also Mexico, where you have a young player who's finally getting, you know, a run. And it's, I got a little, you know, bitter over that he got just yanked, like almost like pretty much permanently, you know?
Yeah, like as a Mexico fan, I see it as like, this is like, if there was ever a time someone would ask me, like from the outside, like, oh, why do like Mexican prospects, like why aren't they like ever like flourish? You can look at Emilio Lara's case, and then like, that is like the epitome of it. It's like this guy, literally in his first season, has an incredible season. Like I'm telling you, like I from the outside to like, and I was watching like a lot of their games. For me, and most, a lot of times, I feel like he was the best player. Like this Julián Quiñones, so the guy who everyone thinks is the best player in the league, like he made him like his pet. That was when they went up against each other in like his first game, he was like owning him, and he had like a great season. And he was only 20 years old, getting interest from Europe, earned a call up to Mexico. Everyone was excited. Oh, man, he might sneak into the roster. You never know. Like I said, at the end of the season, he got maybe beat for one of the goals in the semifinal against Toluca, even though he scored anyways.
It was a bit of a hiccup. He had a little bit of a, you
know, yeah,
an airhead
moment. But he scored.
Yeah.
Like he scored, and I'm like he kind of like made up for that.
I thought he was going to have like an Edson type, you know, movement. Like in terms of his career from that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just like a bunch.
And I had friends who were Chivas fans be like, yeah, he can play.
Yeah, then like I said, like this season he has a few mistakes, and everyone's like, oh no, this guy needs to, we need to get Kelvin Alvarez, we need to get Barbosa, we need to get all these players. Like, bro, like you have him right there. I mean, for me as a Chivas fan, I'm like, I'm glad he's not playing. I think he's like the guy that can kind of change the game. As a Mexico fan, it was kind of like disappointing. I'm like, but what are we doing, bro? This is why, like, well, we give all these foreign guys like a million chances, and then the young guy who's 20 years old messes up for 3 weeks, and it's all.
And I called it out, and you know, American fans are not happy with me because I'm not really that excited with Fidalgo, but I'm gonna call it out. He caused a goal against Cruz Azul, and and it's like, it's okay. Just keep. We're gonna keep you in the starting spot.
That's America's golden boy, Brian. You really beefing it with him?
Well, my thing is he plays so safe. Okay, he's got 97% in passing, but they're 5 yards. He's got two. He had two assists in the regular season. How is this? This is not a. He's got no goals either. And I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm not saying he's not. He shouldn't be playing. But I'm like.
He's not the revolutionary everyone thinks he is.
And he's, let's be honest. He can be, you know, bested on a 50-50 play. He can be burnt by players. He's not, you know, a sprinter by any means. Again, he had a great game in the first one. He had an assist. So I was like, hey, if he gets the goal contributions, I'll eat crow, you know. But in the regular season, dude, there was just too much safety from him. And I'm like, come on.
The thing with America for me is I don't think Tan Ortiz has like figured out a starting 11 in like 3 seasons, because like, bro, sometimes it's like Sendejas, and then other times it's Brian Rodriguez, and then other times it's Jonathan Dos Santos, and then other times it's Pedro Aquino, and then other times it's Emilio Lara, or sometimes it's Miguel Layun. So I'm like, who's the starting like team? Who's your like base squad? Who are the guys that you're like, these are the guys that I want to get the job done, and then when I want to rotate in, when I want a fresh new set of legs, these are the guys I bring on. You don't know who it is ever. Like, can you guys tell me who's like the starting right winger for America? Nobody knows. It was at Sendejas for a while, and then after it's someone else.
And then it seems like when they run out of ideas, it's like, let's throw Roger in.
Roger Martinez.
It's like, okay, so we're just kind of like waving the white flag on this game. It's like,
or whenever you play Vinas, it's like throwing the white flag.
A lot of these guys, like I said, a lot of these guys are like, who's going to show up? Who's going to have a big game? I don't know.
Salisa's David and Goliath story only lasted one playoff game.
If they gave America a scare, so I'll give them their credit for that.
It was scary.
real quick about San Luis, could you have imagined if they knocked out a team that's in the CCL final and then America?
That'd be crazy.
That'd have been epic.
It's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Next, so who's my Chivas? I expected this to be a tight affair. It was. I had to eat Chivas on upset alert because I honestly feel like that Atlas team that we played this time, I feel like it was could have been considered better than the Atlas teams that won the back-to-back titles. Like, you got a better Julian Quiñones. You have Osiel Herrera, who came out of nowhere. You had El Huevo Lozano, who was added to the team. A little bit more experience. I mean, you don't have Diego Coca anymore, like, as their manager, so, like, maybe a little bit different system. I thought Chivas, I'm like, that they were going to struggle, and they did. We suffered. I mean, it was a 1-1 draw, and our only goal was a set piece, and we only advanced because we had a better regular season, but... It was an exciting tie, but
okay. Can I put someone on fraud? You said upset alert. I'm gonna put someone on fraud alert. Can I put someone on fraud alert? I'm gonna put Pocho Guzman on fraud alert, bro. That penalty in the first game, Jesus Christ, yeah. Dude! Like, what? And you know what? There's this clip that resurfaced. I'm not sure if you guys saw it on Twitter of like Pocho saying that he like Atlas is el club de sus corazones. Like, he loves Atlas like with all his heart. And then you see that penalty miss, and you're like, I don't know.
He's throwing the game.
But, bro, I am not going to be surprised. Going back to kind of like the team we were just talking about, I'm not surprised if America picks up. I know there's actually rumors already of Julián Quiñones hopping over to America and Fidalgo actually leaving. So who knows, Brian? You might get your wish, man. But
and like I said, if he gets the goal contributions and pulls through, I'm not too proud to be like, hey, he proved me wrong, but I just thought it was a very lackluster. And it's a little bit of a, cool stats, but you got 2 assists and 1 came in a blowout. We were already winning by 4 or 5 goals when he had 1 of his assists. So, but for Chivas, I'm not comfortable right now. I don't, this team could be it. I mean, they can really. It's going to be heated, you know what I mean?
I feel like Chivas has a star power, man. Like on paper, it's like the players they have is insane, bro. Alan Mosso, Alexis Vega, even like honestly, I know you hate Piojo.
Do not say Piojo.
Piojo Alvarado, man. Four Liga MX, not for the national team, okay? We won't get into that. Pocho, Nene Beltran, like you guys have a solid, like,
he's been good too.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, on paper, they're good, but Atlas, like, bro, Huevo Lozano, Garrett said this on our last episode, right? He said, dude, the Huevo Lozano's gonna like score a free kick. Yo, he was like so close that first game. You guys remember that palo he hit? Like, absolutely so close. But it could have gone either way, man. It could have gone either way. And I'm gonna be honest, I'm a Chivas hater, but they look good. They look good. I think they can, if the gears all work and they're all trending in the same direction, they could pull off another upset against America. I wouldn't even call it an upset. I can say at any moment Chivas could be the favorite, honestly. If the gears are all working and this is Bonovich's what, first season?
Very first season.
Yeah, his second season. Imagine if Chivas get, you know, a player out there, a Mexican player, you know, only some Mexican players that you know, are really in kicking it into gear, they're going to be a scary team.
Yeah, no doubt. I think... Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think they're very similar to America. You don't really know what Chivas are going to get, like, week in, week out. But I feel like what Chivas does a little bit better than I would think any team in Liga MX is that they can, like, grind out a win. Like, they can, like, they'll, like, they just, like set pieces, like, a lot of times, or whether it's a penalty. I feel like there's been a bunch of games this year where it comes down to the final 10 minutes, and we'll just find a way to just sneak by. Like, even when you play very, very bad, I think... Or you get outplayed. Chivas still has the ability to get like the 3 points, so that's a positive. But it's gonna be tough. But let's get into the final one so we can get to the semifinals now. But Tigres Toluca, that game was, or that whole tie was absolutely insane. And I honestly had on last week's podcast, I was the only one who had Tigres advancing. So I'm gonna give myself credit for that. And I expected them to kind of like kind of dominate. I don't know why. I just felt like, you know what? Tigres is the type of team where when nobody believes in them, I was like, all right, you know what? They suck. Like that, they're in like the worst form ever. They're just gonna lose again. They'll hit you with this type of performance where they score 5, 4, 5, 6 goals. You're just like, what the hell? Where did that come from? And then when you believe in them, they'll let you down. But they come out, they destroyed Toluca 4-1. Diego Lainez and Cordoba were looking like Shaq and Kobe, Jordan and Pippen.
Guys, we're not going to start this Diego Lainez campaign so early, man. It's
they were cooking. You got to admit they were cooking.
They were cooking.
Duluth was looking like frauds. But in the second leg, and I think the most intimidating probably atmosphere in Liga MX, like for such a small like stadium, and the Messi Diaz, Toluca almost pulled off a remontada, but
another we're gonna have to develop a small like animated graphic every time we do this, but I'm gonna go fraud alert again. I'm gonna have an alarm ringing as fraud alert. Nacho Ambriz. Okay, I had a whole thing ready to say like this is one of the best managers in Liga MX. He's awesome, and I think it might still stand at some point, but you can't really back it up given his performance in Liga with Toluca. I mean, he made it to the final, was scraped by America last season. It pretty impressive, but then absolutely fumbles the bag against Pachuca, and then fast forward to this Liga, fumbles the bag against, honestly, it was a finished Tigres. Like, they were on their last leg. They lost CCO in an embarrassing way to the best team ever, and then come back, and then you're like, oh, Toluca's finishing them. Why? Maxi Araujo's in form. All of Toluca's in form. Their whole team is insane. They have a really good squad on paper. One of the best managers. And then they just absolutely bottle it. Like,
to a Tigres that was missing probably two of their most important players for the first game was Goria Ran. I always fucking can't pronounce his name. And then Quiñones. But Quiñones played in the second leg, but as a sub. But like, they were missing two of their better players. And Toluca still couldn't get it done.
And that series was just peak Mexican League. It's like, what the heck were these two games? Like, it wasn't like, you know, the Chivas series. It was like, oh, yeah, they blew them out. This is over. I have a friend who's a Toluca fan, and he's like, ah, dude, we're done. You know, like, and then he's like, whoa, hold on, check the score. And I was like, yeah, this is Mexican League, dude. I can't sleep on anything.
No, literally, this has to happen more than any other league in the world. We're like, there's 2-0, 3-0, teams coming back. Like, just to, even just to make it exciting is like insane.
As a classic, the second leg was a classic Toluca Liga MX game as well. You know, like that straight Toluca, the state of Mexico heat, like just everyone sweating there.
But let's get into the real reason we're here, boys. The semifinals. You couldn't have dreamt of a better semifinals. You have a Clásico Regio, a Clásico Nacional, like Chivas América. Not just like those four teams. When all those four teams are good. Like, I can't remember the last time there's been four top five teams in the standings in the final four. It's usually always one upset team or one team that's like a double digits like seed is like making the final or something, or like at least the semis. But no, we have 1, 2, 3, and 5 that finish in the standings. And so what are we saying? Well, let's go with Monterrey and Tigres first. What are you guys' early predictions?
So let's do second leg, because by the time this one goes out, unfortunately, we'll have the first legs done.
Oh, just in general, like what do you think is gonna happen in general, like over across two legs? Who do you got passing?
I'll let Brian go first.
He a fraud.
I got Cordoba going off and
you
doing what he needs to do. Because I'm a believer, right? So I think he's going to show up, and I think they're going to get through. I think they're going to get to the final.
Man, Cordoba is really cooking up something special, man. Diego Lainez and Cordoba is... You know what's crazy is, like, that duo, even in the Olympics, right? It's the him, Vega, and Cordoba, like that very iconic photo where they're just standing there, like, saluting. That's just such a good duo right now in the Liga MX and in the Liga specifically. I did not expect... If you're going to tell me in 2018, maybe 2019, where after Diego Lainez... came out champion with America, and Diego Cordoba had this crazy breakout, and instantly it was like getting linked to teams in Europe, and then had a good Olympic run that they would be cooking for Tigres in 2023. I would not fucking believe you, but hey, it's happening. But I think honestly, I think Cordoba and Lainez won't be enough to save Tigres from Monterrey. Man, Monterrey is Monterrey. At the end of the day, they're first place for a reason. Like, their players are in insane form. I'm a number one Gallardo hater when it comes to the national team, but...
That's why I need Cordoba to go off. Like, I need to expose him right now.
Yeah, no, that's true. But, Gallardo's had a good season this time around Liga MX. Like, can't deny that. Funes Mori, he had a lot of traction he was competing with Henry Martin at the beginning of the season for that top goal scoring thing. And obviously La Bomba is La Bomba, but you can't knock out Funes Mori. He will score a goal on you when you least expect it. I'm going to have Monterrey going through on this tie, man, honestly.
Well, what do you guys have the scores? Was it going to be close or not close?
I'll say close. I'll say like 2-1 and then another 2-1. I think it's going to be something like that.
I'm going to go 3-2 global. So it'll be maybe like a 2-1 in, and who plays the first leg?
So you have 3-2 global for in favor of Monterrey.
Yeah, 3-2 global in favor of Monterrey. What about you, Chris? What are your predictions?
The way I see it is, once it gets to this time of the year, there's always something crazy that happens in Liga MX. And usually the players that are like boom or bust decide everything. I think Tigres has more of those. Like, Monterrey is a team that they remind you like of a machine. It's going well. You know they're just going to give you like a good, consistent performance. And like I said, how they took care of Santos, it wasn't like amazing. It wasn't like, they didn't blow them out. But you just kind of felt like this was kind of inevitable. They were just a better team. They're going to win the series. And they did. Tigres, to me, is the type of team that they have so many like guys that are like firecrackers. Like, they could go off or they could just absolutely suck. Like, they have Córdoba on his best day. I'd go as far as to say he's probably Mexico's best midfielder in general. And not just Liga MX. In general, no one can hit the ball with both feet like him. No one can hit free kicks like him. Yeah, like, he can pass, dribble, shoot, like great with both feet. Like, he kicks penalties with both feet. Like, he kicks free kicks with both feet. Like, it's insane.
We need to bring Habaneros back to the show, bro, because that was a hot take.
And he's proven it. Like, at the Olympics, he had, what, 7 goal contributions in a competition where there's, like, Pedri and all these like high class players. Like, he was one of the best players in the whole tournament. But anyways, that's on his day though. On his day, he's like amazing. He can be the game breaker. And if you think about it, if he's on his day, he'll be the best midfielder on the field, like combine both teams. You think of the strikers on their day, like Funes Mori is like, he's consistent every single season, great. And like, they have Berterame, they have Aguirre. I think in total, they have more attacking firepower, Monterrey. But like, guys that just have that edge, like that clutch gene in the playoffs. I think Gignac has it more than they do. Like, obviously Ronaldo, you can tell kind of Gignac's kind of like getting to the end of it, but he's still like, I feel like if you just need him for one game, one or two legs or one final, he has like that. I would start him like in my combined 11 over them, like any of the Monterrey ones. I just think he's done it before. He kind of has like this, like I said, this clutch gene that he can go off. And then they have him, they have Diego Lainez. He's the ultimate like boom or bust player. Like, he's either going to give you a performance where he looks like he just can't even play in USL. Or he gives you a performance like, oh shit, that's why you were in Europe and you should have been at the World Cup. So it's kind of like either or. And then obviously they have the most polarizing goalie in the league who can, like, this guy's like literally insane. He can save you a penalty and then get a red card like minutes later and start a fight. So I like that about Tigres. So it's kind of like choosing between like this team is like an absolute gamble or a team that you just know is going to be consistent. And I'm going to go with the gamble. I think Tigres is going to go through. I'm going to go with the upset. I think this is like Gignac's, like, I don't know if he's going to retire. I highly doubt it, but it's kind of like, it gives me like that, like the last dance feel to it. And I feel like, I can't even like logically tell you, oh, this is like, they're better than Monterrey. I don't think they are. I just think they're going to pull through. I'm going to go with a 4-3, pretty high scoring, but I'm going to go 4-3 Tigres on aggregate.
Okay, so we got two Tigres and one Monterrey.
Yes, sir. And another hot take, Diego Lainez will score a goal, trust me.
That's my big, and that's another thing too about him that frustrates me, is he can be so deadly in the area and up front. And then you see some games where he's so far back and dropping, and he's not a Chucky who's going to burn guys. He needs to have the ball in the area in that split second move, whichever way he goes. And we saw with the one goal that he set up for Córdoba.
That was amazing. That was such a beautiful.
That's how it should be, you know? Who's going to show up? Is he going to do it? we got to see, you know?
Look, I know us Mexicans get flamed for this a lot, but it's just Diego Lainez has the Messi-esque moves. I'm not saying he's Messi. I'm not saying he's anywhere close to Messi, but that low center of gravity, you see how low he gets when he makes those dribbles, bro. That's dangerous. As a defender myself, I know how dangerous players like that are, bro. And like having a player like that in the box who can, like, you know, make that dribble and get the shot across or this pass across, like, that's key. So
that's the thing about him, though, that Brian was saying that is so true. This I've seen this since his, like, his Betis days at the very beginning to now. Like, there's some games I'm like, bro, like, how are you ever gonna, like, contribute to the attack when you're, like, staple to the sideline? And, like, I look at the other winger on the other side. He's, like, near the area, at the edge of the box. And I look at Diego Lainez. He's, like not even anywhere, like, on the screen. And then he does that way too often. But, like, if you were to get more closer to the box, like, just be around that area, it's kind of like, you never know. A ball might luckily find your feet. Kind of like Tecatito this week. He scored a goal because he was just in the box. It landed to him, you know? Like, if Diego Lainez is more around the area, I feel like he'd be a much deadlier player. But so we're going to see. It's going to be interesting.
Let's go to the juiciest, biggest, fattest game of them all, or two games.
I was starting to sound sus for a second, bro.
You're going
to
say pause, or are you going to come out with the... might as well, but we're going to go with Chivas America, boys. That one's crazy, man. This is like the dream matchup in the semifinals. I don't remember off the top of my head when the last time these two guys met in semifinals, but it's huge, bro. Like, this is a huge game. The game of games, the game to end it all, bragging rights for at least a little while until the next matchup. But what do you guys think? Where do we start?
Go for it, Brian. I'll let you unleash for a second.
I feel like if I'm really negative, it will have a reverse jinx effect. So I'm going to go very negative, and I think they're going to struggle. And it's going to be two completely different games. I think there's going to be a 1-1 and then like a 3-2. There's going to be like a lot of action, and there's another one that's going to be a little more timid, like play, feel the game out a little bit, but both teams will get on board and on the board. And I just feel like one of these games, America's going to have that, we got no ideas. We're running out. Like, no one's coming to save you at the moment. So I'm going to say it's going to be, you know, something like a 1-1 and a 3-2. So let me be really negative and be proven wrong. That's all. That's what I'm doing.
Do you have Chivas going through, or who do you have going through? You have Chivas going through?
That's why I'm trying to be really negative. Let me be really negative. And then either I'm a genius, or, hey, I was wrong. You know,
you might be manifesting your own team to lose, or you might be jinxing. So let's hope it's, well, the latter. But I don't know. This is tough, man. See, the thing for me is, there's two things here for me, right? I see both teams very level on the playing board. Honestly, like, I might even say Chivas is a midfielder. Midfield is better than America's on paper right now, and on the field too, on the pitch itself. And America does have a championship winning striker, bro, La Bomba. That's something Chivas don't have. Ronaldo Cisneros, super inconsistent. Who's the other striker, Chris?
Well, I mean, this week they put Piojo Alvarado as striker.
And striker?
That did not work out.
Things are not being America with Piojo Alvarado as striker. But you guys also do have, there's Alexis Vega, Alexis Vega, he can cook. But here's one thing about it's not even a criticism to America. It's just an observation, bro, of the Azteca in general, because it's a fortress, right? It's a fortress, but, like, I don't know why America and Mexico, by the way, don't go back to playing, like, afternoon games in the Azteca at full capacity stadium, just having, like, La Monumental, like, cheering on America in the middle of, like, a 85 degree fucking thing. Like, that would be, you know, immense. But, like, I'm pretty sure they're going to play that game at the Azteca, you know, at night when it's cool. Stadium probably won't be at capacity. I think COVID messed up that role a little bit, but that would have been a factor for America. Now, I just see it much more even. I'm going to be honest, Brian. When I want to add on to your negativity, I have Chivas going through. I'm going to say 4-2 on aggregate.
I personally think Chivas is a team that's going to play more conservative. In a way, like, I feel like we don't have the striker to compete. Like, America does. I feel like, in general, America's attack, I think, is far better than Chivas. And we have Alexis Vega, but they have guys who are on the bench for them that would be probably started for Chivas. Like, we're starting Bill Alvarado, for crying out loud. We're starting Conan Brizuela, who's, like, I mean, he's up there.
And I can't believe he's still at Chivas.
Yeah, like, I'm telling you, like, I don't think our attack, it's too, like, I mean, our top goal scorer isn't even a forward. It's Pocho Guzman, who's like a midfielder. And like I said, he hasn't been that great. And like so far in the league, yeah, like I said, he was like you put him on fraud alert. I think in Chivas' home leg, which will be the first one, it'll be very, very conservative. I see it being honestly a 0-0 to 0-0 or 1-1 or 1-0. It's going to be somewhere in there. Actually, no, I'll give you a prediction. I think it's going to be 0-0. I think the first leg is going to be like kind of disappointing in a way. I think it's going to be 0-0. Like, I think it's Chivas. We don't have the attack. I think we're going to play extra cautious just because last time we played America, it was 4-2. And it was like 3-0 inside, like, I don't know how many minutes, or instantly in the first half. I think Chivas, like, just to not have that happen again, like, be completely out of it after the first leg, they're going to play conservative. And like O'Brien was saying, sometimes America runs out of ideas. So I could definitely see it being the first leg, kind of being like the feeling each other out type of leg, and ending 0-0. Nice. And then, I do agree with Brian also that I think one leg will be like that, which I'm predicting 0-0, and the second one will be kind of like, all right, this is where it pops out. All it's going to take is one goal. It'll take one goal. Like, I think if Chivas scores first at the Azteca, it's on. Like, a boom. Like, America is going to come out, all-out attack. I really want Chivas to advance, but I think it's going to end up being a draw. I think it's going to be 2-2, which would end up seeing America go through. But I really want to say 3-2 Chivas, but I don't know what's holding me back. Not fucking, I'll say it. 3-2 Chivas. I think it'll be 0-0 first leg, and then Chivas winning 3-2 in the second leg. I'm going to go with us winning in a last second penalty that wasn't a penalty, and we'll win the game. And just so it didn't hurt America fans more, it didn't go to VAR. There's going to be a new no end up and not type of deal, and Chivas are going to win. And yeah, that's going to happen.
So we have Chivas in the final because the three of us just agreed to Chivas. And Brian with the backward effect, but you did say on camera, Brian, that Chivas didn't go through. So we're going to have Chivas in the final. And we're going to go majority rule on the other one. Chivas Tigres final. That's the 2017 rematch. That's going to be crazy. I'd like to see that. But we have the alternate one, which could be Monterrey America, which is another
rematch. I could be wrong, but there's like a almost every scenario is a rematch of a final. I think Tigres America, there was an epic final a few years ago where...
Wait, which one?
Tigres America, that was the 2017. Yes, yeah. 2017, the America had that nice maroon jersey.
Edson scored, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jesus Dueñas broke America hearts in like the 118th minute or something.
Christmas, right? It was Christmas game.
It was Christmas, yeah.
Tigres 2017.
Yeah, famous final.
Tigres Monterrey, a little few years back as well when Tigres beat them. I think the only one that isn't a rematch might be America.
America Monterrey is a rematch. Chivas Monterrey would not be a rematch, but... America Monterrey would also be an epic rematch. So we have there's a couple heated games between those two guys.
You said fraud alert about Pocho. There's one thing weird about him. Have you noticed his boots?
No.
He's wearing retro boots like every game.
Oh, really?
Really?
Like 2011s, 2008s. And they're different. Like one was Adidas, one was Nike. This is just a totally random thought, but I just saw it the other day and I was like, where's he getting these old shoes from? These old boots? Like,
well, that's crazy. I didn't know that. There's guys out there that sell like retro.
He definitely had a 2011. I think I pointed it out. And then he had another pair, like a 2008 Nike yesterday or something. But it was just weird. I just wanted to point that out.
Well, one interesting thing I wanted to ask. How many red cards do you guys see happening?
Ooh. Between both games? Or I mean both?
Yeah, like how many red cards in the Tigres Monterrey series and how many for the Chivas one?
Straight up, there's going to be more red cards in Tigres Monterrey. That's just such a, like, it's just that much more of a heat. Like, have you guys seen, like, how Monterrey and Tigres fans talk to each other? That's hatred, bro. Like, hatred. Like, absolute 100% hatred. I feel like El Clásico Nacional is a little more like, I'm going to go make memes about Chivas and Facebook. And then there's, like, that one video all the time of that guy in a Chivas jersey and then a dress. And he's like, I lost the bet or something. You guys seen that one? That one always goes all over. You see Monterrey and Tigres fans, and they look like they're going to war, bro. Like every single time they play each other.
So who do you?
There's gonna be three red cards in Tigres Monterrey, and there'll be one red card in America Chivas.
I'll go one in America Chivas, and the other one. I'm gonna say there's gonna be two, but it's gonna be the last game.
Yeah, the second leg. It'll be like high stakes, last 5 minutes, and then just...
Yeah, I'm going to go with El Patón getting a red card. And he'll miss the first leg of the final. I still have Tigres advancing, but he'll get a red card. And then I have for America and Chivas. I'm just going to say the loser is going to have three cards in the final and stoppage time, the second leg. They're just going to start going and throwing blows. And because the guy, like I said, I'm predicting a no-out up and out situation where Chivas is going to rob America, which will make it funnier for me, to be honest with you. And it would hurt America fans more. And then I just know there's going to be three fights right there. So that'll be the three red cards.
Sheesh. So we got a total of four different finals, right? Like we can get America Monterrey, America Tigres. We can get Chivas Monterrey, Chivas Tigres. That's four different finals.
Let's see which great games. Any of them are going to be great.
Cool. Are we wrapping it up, Chris?
Yeah, we can wrap it up.
Yeah, for sure. Yo, but yo, this was awesome. Brian, thank you for coming out first before we finish off.
Glad to be here for sure. It was a good episode.
Yeah, dude. No, this was pretty fun. You know, you're always more than welcome to hop on whenever you're on. You're officially part of the Football Asada Network, so welcome on, man.
Definitely looking forward to it.
We should add a segment where we just pull up Brian's tweets because they're fucking hilarious, dude. Your tweets are the funniest thing ever.
That'd be a funny video, bro. Just like us reading, like even just reading our replies and all people like get so pissed at us online.
Yeah. All right, Brian, but before we officially close you out, Brian, let the people know what you got going on, plug yourself in, your socials, where you want them to find you, or if you don't want them to find you.
Don't even come looking for me because I'm going to find you guys anyway. So everyone's going to get mad at me about something, but no, just kidding. If anything, if you're going to follow anything, because you guys will find me on tweeting funny stuff, but if anything, follow FootCult, FUTCVLT on all the socials. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff on discount and we're constantly updating the catalog, but there's really good discounts on everything right now. So if you see something in your size, I would grab it for sure. But yeah, that's the number one thing I want people to follow for sure.
Yeah. So you guys already know, get the drip, go on foot coat.
And I'll wear something on a jersey in the next time I missed out.
We're going to have to go grab something from the sale as well and rock it on there. So
yeah, and like I said, then the new stuff will be coming out throughout the year. So just keep your eyes open. And we, you know, there's always something. We do raffles too. So we got some other raffles coming up. So, you know, got to engage with everybody.
No, let's do it, man. No, awesome. Yeah, you guys make sure you check out Foot Cult. And you guys already know the deal. Football Asada on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Spotify, Apple Music, any podcast listening platform that you guys use. I don't know. What are some of the other ones, Chris?
And you want to watch the full episode of this, tune into this YouTube, bro.
You got to see our faces. You got to see Chris ramble on against the Lioness to cook for whatever reason.
Just watch this week, bro. Trust me.
Yeah, I support it. If he goes off, dude, I support it. I mean, good for him, you know?
We're going to clip this, and then we'll come back to it, Chris. So stay on the lookout for that. But you guys already know. Thank you guys for another awesome episode. Yeah, we'll see you guys next week.
We'll see you next week with more Football Asada. Make sure you guys subscribe and follow us at Cabra FC and CabraSportsHQ.com.